You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I hope you'll forgive me if I seem a little overcautious, but I'm sure you'll understand you never know when a Senate investigating committee might be investigated by a Senate investigating committee.
Well, why doesn't Congress cut the CIA's budget?
How can they? Nobody knows what their budget is.
That's incredible. And now he's after the Internal Revenue Building. He's got to be stopped, Chief.
Yes, if he succeeds, the records of every taxpayer in this country will be destroyed. We won't know who's paid his taxes and who hasn't.
Well, that'll just mean that every taxpayer is on his honor.
This country could be in a lot of trouble, Chief.
It's an organization of shrewd, determined men who have been trying to get control of this country for a number of years. Perhaps you've heard of them.
Oh, you mean the Republicans.
Oh, couldn't we ask the government for help?
99. We're a top-secret organization. Not even the State Department knows about us. We just can't go running to them every time we've got a little problem.
Then what about Congress, Max? They could put through a special appropriation.
Well, how long would that take?
3 months.
Well, what if it was an emergency?
4 months.
Let me put it this way, 99. You're about to have a child. Don't you want that child to grow up in a country that's free from strife? Where every man is equal? Where there's brotherly love in the very air you breathe?
Of course she does, Chief. What country is that?
Wow. Get smart.
Yeah.
Made a huge prediction and it came true.
Yeah.
92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning. And a good morning to you. It's not as bitter cold, but it's close.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 7 degrees. So it's getting a little better.
It's better.
It's going to get better every day here, right through the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, the lights came on automatically.
The lights just keep turning on and off. We must still have
themselves?
A ghost here.
Is that it?
Yeah, by themselves.
The ghost is here.
Wow.
This morning.
All right, well, that's a little bit too many lights, I think. It's really bright in there, isn't it?
It is.
What the hell happened?
You just live in darkness all the time, so you're not used to it.
I know.
I don't
like lights.
Do you keep all the lights off at home?
Most of the time, yeah. I have a lot of indirect lighting, you know, shining off the ceiling. A lot of LEDs, different colors, different moods.
Do you have one of those miner's caps that has the flashlight on the forehead?
We haven't gone that far yet, but, you know, you've got, well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Could do that. Why not?
Well, you know, all around the house we have flame lights.
What do you mean, flame lights?
The flame bulbs.
Like a torch?
Well, you guys haven't seen these things? I mean, they were a real big thing about 2 years ago where they came out with LED lights that are programmed to look like flames.
Okay,
or torch flames.
Okay.
Yeah. And I went out, I bought into them big.
Did you go to Costco for those?
I kept the industry alive for many years.
Okay.
Your house is made out of, or it's got stone siding at
stone
least,
siding.
Right? So what do you want? You want to live in like a castle or something?
And it's got pine inside in our living room.
Yeah.
Pine walls.
It's very cool.
Yeah. Actually. So, you know, we've got this flame going constantly in the house, and it's just, you know, it's kind of warm and, you know, feels like we're around the campfire.
Yeah. Kind of relaxing.
It is very relaxing. It's nice. So I would advise, you know, if you really want, you know, some kind of mood lighting, those flame lights are fantastic.
Well, I'll have to check those out next time I take my annual visit to your house and just see what's going on in there.
Yeah, we don't go over to each other.
No.
Now that you're in town, right?
I know. Now that I'm close by, we never see each other.
Well, that's nice to know you're close. That's all.
Okay. That's fine. Well, we see each other every day here. So
yeah,
why,
we do.
You know,
that's enough.
Yeah, it's plenty. Let's see what the afternoon temperature will be for today, Friday, the 21st day of February.
All right, let's get out the bar dice.
Do we have the bar dice handy?
No, but it's Friday, and Friday we take our balls out.
Oh, that's it. Gotta get the balls out. Ah, the lottery ball machine is working well. First number is a 2. Okay. Oh, that's good.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Second number is a 4. 24 for
that's
a high
not,
today.
That's not warm enough.
Yeah. No. It'll get better on Saturday and Sunday, maybe upper 30s or even low 40s on Sunday into Monday, too. So it's looking good, and we'll check in with Brittany Merlot a little bit later on. Pam Yonke's right around the corner.
Yeah, you'll be talking to her about a few interesting things, the U.S. Champion Cheese Competition.
She's with the Midwest Farm Report. Really? Cheese Champion?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the National Day calendar for today.
And Coca-Cola has a milk.
What? Wait. What? Stop the music. Coca-Cola has a milk?
Yeah, they've got a big business in the milk industry.
Have you guys seen the Quick Trip root beer milk?
No. It's like a float, right?
I never got a chance to try it. It was like a limited edition thing that they had.
Well, it's a root beer
float. Root beer flavored milk.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
It does. That's terrible. That's disgusting.
I mean, you know, a float has to have like ice cream in it. I mean, that's the whole point of it.
Well, yeah, but you want to make it melt too, don't you? You don't just like eat solid ice cream with the root beer.
You put ice cream in root beer, and then it dissolves a little bit, and it turns into a milky but thick substance.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what this root beer milk was.
That's hard to imagine. That.
is that what a black cow is? Root beer?
I think so.
And ice cream? I think so. Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's get back to the National Day calendar.
Great National Day calendar.
Okay. What is it for today, February 21st? Is it National Boiled Peanuts Day?
Yeah.
How about National Grain Free Day? National Mind Your P's and Q's Day? National Caregivers Day? Or National Sticky Bun Day? What day is it not out of that list? John?
The P's and Q's Day.
You are correct for a change. Yes, you get a shiny new dime. It's not National Mind Your P's and Q's Day. Why would anybody bake a day just for that? It is boiled peanuts.
I will take a bow on that. Boiled peanuts.
Have you ever had boiled peanuts?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
They have jars of it, yeah.
Mm. Well, it's, let's see. Boiling peanuts has been a cultural practice in the southern U.S., since the 1800s, but it's been widely growing in popularity across the country, too. Originally called goober peas. Remember goober?
Goober.
Andy Griffith's show. Yes.
Goober.
That was Gomer's cousin or brother. We never really knew. We were related somehow. Goober peas. Boiled peanuts are often referred to as the I can never say this word.
Edamame or something?
Edamame of the South. Whatever you call them, boiled peanuts have been a tradition during family celebrations and social gatherings throughout many parts of the country, but it's really mainly a southern thing. Okay.
All right.
Check that one off the list. Yes. National Grain-Free Day.
Grain-Free Day?
Grain-Free Day. Mm, okay. Inspires families and friends to gather and enjoy each other's company over grain-free meals. Let's have a grain-free meal together.
You have to get together with your family and have a grain-free day.
What a remarkably easy way to devote an entire day to loved ones who cope with dietary limitations. Oh, okay. So it's a dietary thing. Not only does the day create a way to recognize the difficulties of a restricted diet, but it celebrates the family and brings everyone back into the kitchen for a meal designed just for them. I don't understand this.
I think that day be hard for me to celebrate. I've been eating almost nothing but bread all week.
Mm.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough day to celebrate. Plus, isn't there just like one person who may have a grain problem of some sort?
Probably.
Have a family get-together around that.
I don't think I've ever met anybody that has a grain problem.
But if anybody had a grain problem, every day would be one of those grain-free days where everybody gathers around the table and celebrates the person who can't eat the bread at the table.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're right. I mean, it's the way it goes.
Let's remind them of their deficiency. Let's play on that.
Sure. Often there's someone who cannot eat wheat or corn or rice due to an allergy or another autoimmune disease, and they find themselves eating celery sticks at the... So it's a day to feel sorry for them.
You gotta be kidding me, right?
That's all they can eat? It's so sad.
It's not like you're really picking on this person. Here, eat some celery sticks. My God.
Sad.
That's awful.
I feel sorry for that person.
Not a good day here.
National Caregivers Day. Let's move on. National Caregivers Day. So around the nation, dedicated healthcare professionals that still have jobs serve those who require long-term or hospice care. They provide vital services, reassuring patients and the families who care about them. You know, my niece is a nurse, and so I salute her on National Caregivers Day.
Yeah, that's a tough job.
Emergency room nurse for, I think, 12 or 13 years. So, how to observe National Caregivers Day. Take time to thank a caregiver. Well, I just did that.
Yep, you did.
Give them a card of thanks. Let them know with a kind word of encouragement. You know, give them a high five. Okay. All right. And finally, National Sticky Bun Day. Sticky buns. Recognized as a delicious pastry that comes rolled up and dripping with a sweet, sugary topping. We should order up some sticky buns. From a nearby
John
bakery.
Gordy gets sticky.
Yeah.
That's really decadent.
They're perfect with a hot cup of coffee in the morning, it says here.
Well, they do taste good with coffee, but I have to say, who wants drippy, syrupy stuff on their food?
Well,
we don't already have bad eating habits in this country.
Well, this came to us from Germany, known as Schnecken. Meaning snail, the sticky bun is rolled into a sweet spiral resembling its German name. Still considered to be a Pennsylvania specialty, many believe the sticky bun's origin in the United States began in the 19th century. German settlers brought their baking traditions with them when they began settling in around Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So we can thank them or blame them for that.
Well, you know, Mark...
Yeah.
Filled us in a little piece of his childhood.
Oh, really?
And I think there was a Civil War song sung by troops celebrating goober peas, peanuts. One line I remember from grade school, goodness, how delicious eating goober peas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What song was that, Mark?
I don't.
You have to call and sing that for us.
Yeah, please do. Do we have time to open up the history book yet?
Yeah.
We do not.
What?
Unfortunately. Well, we've got 30 seconds till we hit the commercial.
Well, we better get ready for Pam Yonke because she's coming up next right here on John and Gordy in the Morning on 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I had already beat that.
WMDX.
It's going to be a bright, beautiful day. Highs in the mid-20s today. Yeah. Right now, clear skies and 7 degrees.
Right now, on the line, we have Pam Yonke from the Midwest Farm Report. And we always like to touch on a few things that touch on everybody else's life in this great dairy state that we live in. And boy, you can't talk more about cheese in this state and the U.S. champion cheese competition that's going to take place.
Yep, March 4th through the 6th.
All right.
And where will that take place?
So it's going to be at the Resch Expo Center up in Green Bay. And I was talking with Kirsten Strominger, who is kind of the logistics guru from the Wisconsin Cheesemakers to try to make all this happen. And I said to her, why did you decide? I mean, I know that they normally toggle between Madison and Green Bay, and I thought maybe one of the reasons why was the general public that they wanted to engage with. She said the reason they selected the Resch Expo Center in Green Bay is there's two answers here. Lighting. Never stopped and thought about lighting being a critical element for the judges to do their job.
Yeah.
But they're going to be looking at over 2,400 different entries. Now, when I say entries, I mean individual blocks or wheels of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Butter,
a lot of cheese.
Cultured products, dryway. So that's a lot of eye strain, if you know what I mean. So having that kind of bright light so that they can do their job was really important. And the other thing is, so all these entries are already in Wisconsin. Mm. All 2,414 pieces are already here in Little Chute in a refrigerated warehouse where they can keep it in the best quality. You know, you obviously want to have the best products in the best quality in front of the judges. So they need to be able to have a facility that's got enough semi-bays. So when they start transporting, those refrigerated semis can essentially stay locked to the expo center so that it's a one smooth move. They take it out of the semi, put it in front of the judge, and back again when it gets done. So that's one of the reasons why they selected the Resch Expo Center up in Green Bay. And like I said, I do want to remind people that they are going to be doing sampling for cheese lovers. So you can go up there any day of the event on actually probably the 4th and the 5th, that's the best, from 10 until 3, watch the judges take in the eye candy of all those dairy goods, and then they'll have some of the cheese cut up for sampling, too.
Wow, that sounds incredible. Now, this is the U.S. Championship cheese competition. We have a world championship competition, don't we, normally in this state?
Correct. Absolutely, you are correct. So the U.S. Champion Cheese event happens on odd years. The World Cheese Championship, usually in Madison, happens on even years. So, and again, Wisconsin's been fortunate to be the host for that for decades as well.
All right, I know we're talking about the high price of eggs and everything, but I think there's a high price in cheese, too. What accounts for that, Pam?
I think it depends what cheese you're looking at, buddy, because Wisconsin's got plenty of it. If you're looking for at your standard cheddar, your American slice, you're not going to have to worry too much about a dent on your pocketbook. Yeah. Now, you get into some of the aged cheddar or some of the, what do they call it, wine-wrapped cheeses, then you might have to cut back on the quantity you're buying. But like you said at the outset, Wisconsin, our love and reputation for cheese kind of seems to surpass our wallet once in a while.
Oh, I agree. There was, I don't know the company, it's Cedar something or other, and they had really inexpensive cheeses at Woodman's. And they had super aged cheddar, like 5 or 6 year aged cheddar. And it was really inexpensive. And now it's really high priced. And you get used to the great taste of aged cheddar, you know?
Yeah.
And there's nothing like the cheddar in Wisconsin. You know, you have tasted the other cheeses. They have other states' cheeses, like at Costco and stuff like that. But there's nothing like Wisconsin cheddar cheese. Nothing like
it. Why don't you try going to the source? I mean, if you're talking about Cedar Grove cheese or, Carr Valley cheese, we've got cheese makers all over the place that would invite you into their retail space to give a sample. And remember now, stop and think about the science. I know this makes your brain hurt at this time of the day, but remember, every cheese maker has their own recipes and what we call rennet. Rennet is an ingredient that every cheese maker uses, but every cheese maker has a unique rennet that they use. That's why you can travel from one cheese plant to another. Like you said, you look at a cheddar, but that cheddar over there tastes different than this cheddar over here, and a lot of it has to do with the recipe and the rennet that they use.
I did not know. That is really interesting. Yeah.
Okay. That's why they're friends. They may be friends when they're standing together at an event, but You don't go deep digging in their recipe files.
That's right. You protect your rennet. I know it's a famous quote. Coca-Cola has a milk product, and we are drinking it here in Wisconsin. It's Fairlife milk, and it's lactose-free. I'm a big guy on lactose-free milk. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's been a real surprise on Wall Street, to be honest with you. This is something that's owned by Coca-Cola now. I started paying attention to Fairlife when dairy farmers were first involved with it, a group of about 12 to 20 dairy farmers in the southeast decided they wanted to break through on the beverage market. So they started putting together what we call ultra-processed milk, which basically reduces the sugar by half. That would be that lactose that you're talking about sometimes. And then also boosted protein. It was such a hit that Coca-Cola partnered with them, 43% of the company, and now Coca-Cola owns Fairlife entirely. They've changed the packaging so that it sticks out in the beverage area of dairy. And you'll also notice that if you ever try it, yes, it does cost a little bit more, but if you ever try it, you are going to get what I call a fantastic mouthfeel. It's almost kind of like almost a milkshake feel in your mouth. You'll also notice it's a tad, even the white milk has just a tad sweeter taste to me. And the reason it is ultra high filtered. It's exposed to a little bit more heat. But the other thing, you can leave it in your refrigerator for literally months, and it is still fantastic. That's the other thing about the processing. So they have seen that the actually Fairlife is outperforming almost all other beverages that Coca-Cola features. Now stop and think about what I just said. Almost all other beverages.
That's always good news, and they have omega-3s in them as well. They've added to the milk. It's fantastic stuff. Well, Pam, thank you very much for that update.
Thanks, Pam.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Yep, we'll talk to you.
Midwest Farm Report is coming up next, and then we'll be back with Idiocracy on John and Gordy in the Morning, 92.7 WMDX.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down, until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems.
What an idiot!
The inner machinations of my mind are an enigma.
What? What the f*** is going on around here?
Holy s***!
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Federal workers are experiencing anger, chaos, and confusion, which coincidentally are also the Secret Service code names for Trump, Elon, and Don Jr. One example of these workers' heads spinning, Friday before last, at the Small Business Administration, employees received emails notifying them of their terminations. Then on Monday, another email said the initial notices were a mistake. Then on Tuesday, they got a third email confirming their firings. Elon and the Doge bags have fired so many people. They have fired so many people so quickly in so many critical areas with so little thought beforehand that the government is now scrambling to rehire the nuclear staff it fired on Friday. These are folks involved with designing, building, and overseeing U.S. nuclear weapons stockpile after concerns grew that their dismissal could jeopardize national security. I share those concerns. But here's the wrinkle in the rub. The government has struggled to reach the people that were fired after they were locked out of their federal email accounts. So now we got a bunch of pissed off people with a lot of time on their hands who know how to build nuclear weapons. Well, at least you couldn't find them. And it doesn't stop with the nukes. Yesterday, the Department of Agriculture said that they accidentally fired officials working on bird flu and are now trying to rehire them. Whoops-a-pandemic. And even Republicans are starting to notice, like Nebraska Representative Don Bacon, who said they need to be more cautious. There's an old saying, measure twice, cut once. Well, they are measuring once and having to cut twice. Yes, let's pray they never put Elon in charge of circumcisions. Oopsie. Who has the Gorilla Glue?
Yeah. Stephen Colbert.
Oh, man, yeah, yeah.
Kind of throwing it all out there.
Well, why not? You know, this is something we can make fun of. Frightening.
Yes. And chaotic.
Yeah, I think it reveals a whole heck of a lot about, you know, how they're doing this. It is willy-nilly. It is just random. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know who they're getting rid of. It is really, really scary. Mm-hmm. And there's no excuse. Absolutely no excuse.
Yeah.
You'd think they'd have a record of the people that they do fire. Right? Maybe a last check, benefit that they might be giving them, something like that.
Was Elon coming out with a chainsaw supposed to be symbolic of everything that he is doing and plans to continue doing?
Yeah. We're featuring that as our big story next hour, and mm-hmm. Matt reminded us of it, Elon's CPAC appearance, which is just dramatic as hell. And my little tip here is check out a scene in Idiocracy if you can.
In the movie, yeah.
It's very similar. We really didn't think any of this could be possible. In fact, I think that was the rub of the movie, that it was just so outrageous and ridiculous that mm-hmm. You really couldn't take any of that stuff seriously.
Right, yeah. Want to mention the phone lines are open, by the way. 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. Of course, you can always reach us on the free Civic Media app. You can download that and get the app and get into us with a text or a phone call. And this portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Their big presidential sale is still on. You can find all kinds of bargains and deals. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find out about their lifetime comfort guarantee. Check them out on Madison's east side and west side, or go to verlo.com. John?
I like your notes there. It's
okay. Thank you.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Everything.
Try to keep everything in an orderly.
It's amazing how you were able to tape that together like that and make some sense out of it.
Thank you.
We have a special WMDX teletype that we have brought into the studio. It's been in mothballs for years and years and years, and we thought, well, every once in a while, this thing
needs
to be activated.
You mentioned it, and it just started working. And
we've got stories coming across the teletype constantly, and that's why we turned it off. The fire hose of information.
Yeah, too much.
Yeah, it's way too much. Christy Nome. She says that people don't trust government with their personal information.
She said that?
Big late-breaking headline there. Yeah. CNN's Dana Bash was stunned by Christy Nome saying something like this. So why don't we listen to this is cut 100. This is Christy Nome, and she inadvertently says this, but she doesn't realize what she's saying. Check it out.
The Washington Post is reporting that Musk and his Doge team have access to FEMA's sensitive disaster data, which includes personal information about tens of thousands of disaster victims. Mm-hmm. Have you authorized Elon Musk and his team to have access to Americans' personal data that is housed inside DHS?
Yeah, we're working with them at the president's direction to find what we can do to make our department much more efficient. There's
funds
but
that's different from him having access to personal data that is housed
in the president has authorized him to have access.
And you feel
to that,
comfortable.
So absolutely.
I remember a time when Republicans were very careful about and worried about the government, particularly unelected people.
Well, we can't trust the government anymore.
Having access to personal data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You are the government.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, is that the American people now are saying that we have had our personal information shared and out there in the public.
But now Elon Musk has access to it.
Yeah, but Elon Musk is part of the administration that is helping us identify where we can find savings and what we can do. And he has gone through the processes to make sure that he has the authority.
You're totally
comfortable
with it. The
president has granted him. I am today by the work that he's doing by identifying waste, fraud, and abuse. And his information that he has is looking at programs, not focusing on personal data and information.
Oh, we know that
not
for sure.
Not focusing on it, but he has access.
But he has access to it.
You know, we'll be continuing to talk to him about what all he has.
That is just an amazing disconnect from what's really going on out there.
Absolutely.
I work for the government. Mm. I work for the federal government. I'm in the Census Bureau.
Yes.
And our stuff is so locked away, no one can access it. We're not even supposed to let people even see the screen of our laptops.
Right.
It's that tight. And this is what's happening before our very eyes. We have some guy who has absolutely no clearance, no investigated process to let this guy look at this information, and we're letting him go in and see people's information. He could do anything with it. He could save it. He could make a copy of it, use it later on X sometime. You know, he does want to create a financial payment system on X.
Yes.
As an extra benefit. So all of this stuff is just culminating. This guy is taking our information, and he might be saving it and using it against us.
Now, being a census worker, do you have they gone into the Census Bureau yet, and have they talked about layoffs? Or?
Yeah, they have. They have asked the older veterans like me, people in retirement who are working for the census because we got nothing else to do, gets us out of the house.
Right.
They asked us to retire first. What is wrong with these people? See, they don't know what they're doing. I mean, it was a tip-off for me right away.
Right.
All right. Oh, okay.
Take a breath. Take a deep breath.
I got to cool down just a little bit here, okay?
All right.
The numbers are in. Grab some popcorn. Let's check out the Deporter-in-Chief's mass deportation numbers. This was a week ago. This is cut 101. And I got to ask, what am I missing? Please don't tell me it's another big lie. Let's check out cut 101.
Because one interesting thing, and we're just following the numbers with you here, is if you look at the comparison, I'll put this on the screen, Trump versus Biden, right now, it's actually a lower rate of deportations. Mm-hmm. The Trump administration is doing them, but they're not even reaching the level of previous administrations. As you know, he ran against Biden and partly seemed to imply that he was going to do something bolder or of a higher number. It's not for me to say what the perfect number is, but is your view as someone in this orbit that right now the lower number is okay because, as you say, it reflects prioritization of certain cases?
I think I would want to look a little bit more closely into that, but I think the president prioritizing this issue is very, very important. I think we've seen a lot of success, but when you have cases like today, I don't know if you've heard, but Tom Homan went to do a raid in Colorado, and the apartment complex that he went to was given a heads up. There was a violent gang there, and they had already left because somebody leaked to them. That's a problem, which means there's people that are actively working against the president. So we have to make sure that the Trump administration is able to do their job to the fullest extent. Things like that are preventing them from doing that. And I'm completely confident in the president's ability to get the job done.
All right. Well, I'm confident, too.
We're all confident.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And Sherry, of course, you know, always sends us a gigantic emoji.
Yes.
A coffee cup of some sort. And this one is very, very cold and very
jittery.
Freaking out.
Or maybe it's got too much coffee.
Yeah, it's had too much coffee. I think that coffee That's cup it. Is. John.
Shaking. Yeah,
that's right. And her note here is deep breath, John. Thanks, Sherry.
We agree.
Yeah, well, that's true. Mm-hmm. All right. This is horrible news. Oh, wait. We have Mark up here.
Yeah.
Let's go to Mark first.
Okay. Mark's on the line.
I'm going to save the horrible news.
Okay.
Sorry about that, folks.
All right. Mark, go ahead with your comments.
Well,
good morning.
Part of the problem is none of these people seem to understand how government actually works. They don't believe government works, so they are willing to tear everything down. And all they're going to find out, well, yeah, government doesn't work if you cut it off at the knees and take away access to that, and you fire the people that actually know what they're doing. But for the whole deportation thing, Biden was not making a point of having televised deportations with women and children in chains and shackles and, you know, not only wrist shackles but probably ankle shackles as well, and flying them out of military transports the way that Donald Trump was, make a big old show of it. So all these guys like Jesse Waters don't need to buy Viagra anymore because that's what gets them excited is seeing people stuffed into those modern-day cattle cars and shipped off like people going to the work camps that the Nazis had.
I know. I read a few posts on X where people compared it to Nazi Germany's films, where they actually, recorded all this and presented it as propaganda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
I know.
It's
Let's get to this really
sick,
depressing, horrific news.
Mark, thank you for that call.
I have for you. This is, could we start up the old teletype machine? This is a big alert. Yeah.
We got a big alert.
Yeah. There
Front
it
desk.
Is.
Front
Takes a while to kick in.
Order up.
It does. It's old. But we like to bring it out of mothballs just for this.
Okay.
This is Trump is eyeing massive cuts that would doom one of his key promises that he made.
Really?
Yeah. a massive axe to the Office of Community Planning and Development. It's the primary office that helps parts of the country recover after they've been hit by severe natural disasters. This, remember how Biden wasn't doing enough?
Right.
After the hurricanes passed through? Well, Trump has decided to even do less. According to the New York Times, Trump officials are planning to cut the office's staff by 84%, which would effectively eliminate it completely, despite its vital importance to communities affected by natural disasters. As the Times noted, a cut this massive could make it impossible for Trump to fulfill his campaign promise to help the people of North Carolina to quickly recover from the devastation wrought by Hurricane Helene last year. So, in other words, he's leaving them, abandon them, and that's it. It's done.
Just throw some more paper towel rolls at them. That'll do the job.
Yeah, that's right. The paper towels. How famous could that be? Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Okay.
I know we don't have time for this next thing, but we'll try to fit it in right after this break
here. We'll get it in a moment. And this portion of the John and Gordy Show on 92.7 WMDX is brought to you by David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource celebrating 65 years in business in southern Wisconsin. They have offices in Madison, Milwaukee, and Kenosha. They do it all, residential and commercial, lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning. David J. Frank. You can go to davidjfrank.com for more information. That's davidjfrank.com. We're coming back with more on John and Gordy in the Morning in just a moment. Oh, hey, one more thing. Rocker's going to join us in our next hour. Yeah. Yes, he's back.
Coming back.
With a Max Inc. preview.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
One step beyond!
Ninety 2.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning in the capital city, Madison, and a good morning to everyone.
Mm-hmm. John, did you know that the Best of Madison nominations are now open? Did you know that? Did you?
I did.
If the John and Gordy Show on WMDX is your go-to, and we hope it is, we'd love to have your nomination for Best Radio Team. Just go to channel3000.com. That's channel3000.com. Click on Best of Madison. Then go to the Arts and Entertainment category and find the Best Radio Team.
Help us, please.
And type in John and Gordy Show.
Please
okay?
Help us, please.
And you can vote once every single day now until the end of the month. So, yeah.
We
got to
get
it.
The word out.
Yeah,
right?
A lot of people
don't know we're here. We're a local station. We're not on the... Pacific Media Network.
We're right here in Madison. Yeah.
I was going to create a bunch of fake email addresses to stuff the ballot, but Madison Magazine said that they were going to police that. And
they frowned upon
exclude
that.
Exclude any of those votes.
Well, it's good that you mentioned that. I was working on it myself.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, DOGE is targeting the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, Gordy.
No.
This is a big deal for you because you had your sights on it at one time.
I love my friends at the National Weather Service.
And you got the Best of Madison because you were a great weatherman.
Well,
but now look what's happening here. Employees from the White House's Department of Government Efficiency have entered the offices of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or otherwise known as NOAA. CBS News environmental correspondent David Schechter had this report. This is Cut 149. Let's listen.
Multiple sources tell CBS News that employees from the White House's Department of Government Efficiency have entered the office of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, otherwise known as NOAA. As a reminder, Elon Musk's team at DOGE has been tasked with finding ways to trim federal spending. This latest move has some Democrats fearing the nation's top weather agency will be next. Former NOAA officials tell CBS News that current employees should expect a 50% reduction in staff at the agency.
Yikes.
Along with budget cuts of roughly 30%.
Why?
Let's bring in CBS News environmental correspondent David Schechter for more on
these
this.
Are huge.
So, David, what does NOAA do, and are you what are you hearing about the Trump administration's plans for the agency?
This is scary.
Lindsay, NOAA is a premier science organization. They issue our weather alerts through the National Weather Service.
Yeah.
Tell us when hurricanes are coming. Mm-hmm. They are a leader on climate science, understanding what's happening with our atmosphere, and they understand the health of the ocean. So they're doing a lot of very important science. And as you just mentioned, that is exactly what we heard, that Doge people under the authority of Elon Musk had entered the NOAA headquarters this week. They went in, they told employees they're going to expect a 50% cut in that workforce, and they should expect a 30% cut in the size of the budget there.
What?
We've also heard from sources at the National Weather Service that were told to submit names of people who have been hired in the last year, presumably so those people could be fired.
Can NOAA survive cuts like that?
Well, NOAA has 12,000 employees. 6,000 of them are scientists and engineers. So the intention stated in Project 2025, which has been this pretty accurate roadmap for what's happening inside the Trump administration, is to break up NOAA. Cutting that many people, obviously, is a down payment on breaking up. No, it's difficult to do all the science that we were just talking about if you have half the staff or even less. I think for climate, there's a lot of real practical implications of NOAA, understanding the severity of the problem, obviously, but they forecast financial risks so that insurance companies know what to expect from the risks of climate change. Farmers use that information for the best time to plant their crops so they can avoid, they can plant them in sort of a sweet spot as the climate and the weather change. As for weather, we're talking about life-saving products. Are we going to be ending emergency alerts that have been so important to saving people's lives?
Yeah, I wonder.
Or are we going to hand that over to private companies?
Oh, no.
Are they going to want to be pushing the button to tell us that there's an alert to our entire community or face any repercussions if they get that wrong? There's a lot of really complicated, thorny questions in there.
There are a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, there are. You know, the military also relies on NOAA for all of their weather information. Yes, they have their own meteorologists, but as far as the basic weather information, climate information and research and all, you know, all the predictions, especially for severe weather, military has a big, big stake in seeing NOAA do the best job in the world on weather predictions.
Well, we know that Trump doesn't have a lot of respect for any of the agencies, especially NOAA, since he took out a Sharpie once and corrected NOAA's forecast for a hurricane.
That was one of the. He's done a lot of dumb things, but that one just stands out as being particularly idiotic.
Well, the thing is, everybody knew he did that,
right?
And yet they voted for him to be our president again.
Yeah,
you know,
I know. It's just
it's like my brother said. You know, just wait and see. You just wait.
Well,
just wait and see.
We are seeing it already.
Oh, man, I tell you. You know, when the activist Republican Supreme Court struck down the Chevron doctrine that gave federal agencies the ability to adjust regulations and laws as situations come up, that left the decision of those departments up to the courts to make it. You know, they had to make that decision. They couldn't rely on experts. Well, it just got worse. You know, Trump is now saying, of course, he has control of those agencies.
Yep.
So the Chevron doctrine went just so far, then Trump is taking it a little bit farther now by taking control of all of these agencies, and he will be the final arbiter of what is right and what is wrong and what they can do or what they can't do. It is just something so unbelievable. We are living in idiocracy, no doubt. And in next hour, we're going to be getting to the chainsaw incident at CPAC.
Yes.
Comparing it to idiocracy.
Yes.
So it's a special edition of Idiocracy next hour right here on WMDX.
Elon and the Chainsaw. That's right. Coming up right around the corner. Also, news straight ahead. And Rocker is in the studio. He'll be in with the Max Inc. preview in about a half hour on John and Gordy in the Morning, 92.7 WMDX.
We'll be right back to the action right after this message.
Let the sun shine.
It's the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.